Barley has been used as a crop for a long time, and in fact, it's been there's some evidence around that it was first domesticated for human use and for growing as a crop about 10,000 years ago, probably in the Levant area of the Middle East. And as I said, the wild barleys and the progenitors of the domesticated barleys had this long dormancy period. But one of the major uses of barley, initially, it probably was for food, but I think early on the farmers discovered that barley was a perfect grain for making beer. Now, beer involves the controlled germination of barley grain. So the first step is to germinate the barley grain and then extract fermentable carbohydrates and convert those fermentable carbohydrates to ethanol and alcohol, and there's your beer. But when the farmers noticed that there were some lines, and this was a spontaneous mutation, which had a much shorter dormancy period, it meant they could germinate their grain almost immediately after harvest. And that meant they could make their beer almost immediately after harvest and didn't have to wait 3 months for the dormancy to finish.
So do you think that means that the ancient human groups were actually driven more by a desire for beer than they were for bread?
Yeah, well, exactly. So this is has been a debating point in the literature for some time, and I think the answer is probably both. You know, it was important for early groups of humans to aggregate into the early agrarian societies. It was important for them to have a reliable source of food which they could store. So, you know, wheat and making bread from wheat was obviously important. But there's also very good evidence that the very early farmers also spent a good deal of their time thinking about alcoholic beverages. And the use of barley probably initially was for food, but they soon discovered that they could use it for making beer. And that would also be a major driver. Our appetite for beer and alcohol would have been certainly a major driver for getting these groups together into the original societies.
So what's the practical application, therefore, of working out this dormancy gene?
I suppose the practical applications are that you can, if you're looking in new barleys or you're screening barleys, we now know what the gene is and how it differs to the wild barley gene. And so you can see whether you're likely to have a short dormancy period or not. I'm not sure that that's a major application. Perhaps a more important application is if we know what the dormancy genes are, it may be in some applications, for example, with climate change and hotter and drier climates, we might like to actually reintroduce or lengthen the dormancy in those sort of climates. So it's a way, once you know what the gene is which causes this shortening of dormancy, you can select for it or against it, and it's quite easy in breeding programs to do that, because you can use a little DNA marker from the gene to predict whether you're going to have a long or a short dormancy period.
And are both varieties still available in the barley that we grow today, the short and long dormancy barleys?
Yes, indeed. Yes, so we've got repositories of massive numbers of barley lines, ancient barley lines, wild progenitor lines of barley, and these are all safely kept in a number of repositories around the world. So we can always go back to that material if we're looking for different types of this gene.